everyone this morning participating. Everyone. In Psalms 26, starting with verse 7, it says, I come to your altar, O Lord, singing a song of thanksgiving and telling of all your wonders. I love your sanctuary, Lord, where the place of your glory dwells. God dwells here because his people are here. He inhabits the praises of his people. And if God is dwelling in our praises, anything that is on our hearts, we can take to him. And he sees it, he hears it, and he brings an answer to. So all he asks is that we come to him. And all we want to do is say, yes, Lord, we want to participate in what you're doing. God wants to do something this morning. We would love for you to participate with us. Join us this morning in worship.
Amen. Stand with us this morning.
Nothing can separate, even if I ran away. Your love never fails. Mercy for me every day. Your love never fails. You stay the same through the ages. me up from my slumber, oh God. Take these shaking hands and hold them still. Wake me up from my slumber, oh God. Lift my eyes to
do. We come expecting you to do something. We are ready for you to do something. We are ready for you to pour out. We are ready for whatever you have for us. We thank you. This week, the Lord gave me a word and kind of a vision with it. And it was three vases. And how many of you have ever felt poured out, like you were empty? And you had poured and you had poured and you had poured. And when there's a glass vase and it pours everything out until it can't pour anymore, what happens? It breaks. And it's only pouring out. And so often we do this every week.
We pour out and we pour out and we pour out. And then we use Sunday as our fill-up station. And we come in on Sunday and we're on empty. Or maybe we break down during the week and we run out before we even get here. And then we never make it. And then the second vase was oil and water. And oil and water don't mix. And somehow, when we live in this vase, we keep our vase full. But we have no control over what we're pouring out. You see, because when oil and water is pouring in at the same time, you don't know what's coming out. You don't know if it's the world, or you don't know if it's God. And we don't know what we're spilling over to others. We're spilling over. We're full. But we can't run properly. And we lose control. And then the third vase, it stands tall. And it's consistent. And it's always staying full of water so it can spill out. And when it spills out, it fills other people's tanks. And it fills their vase. And it overflows. And it pours. And it pours. You see, but to be consistent, we have to fill up every single day. Because if we just pour and we pour, we may be overflowing, we may be pouring out, and then all of a sudden we're just at full. And then what do we have to do to pour out? We have to tip. And we pour and we pour and we pour, and then we break, just like that first vase. And then sometimes we start getting empty and we fill it with the wrong things. And then we're that oil and water vase where we're mixed. We're mixed up in this and we're mixed up in that. We don't know who we are anymore. And we think we're safe. We think we're okay because we still can see water. But we're not safe. We're not okay. God didn't call us to be that mixed vase. But he also didn't call us to be that water vase that pours out till we break. He called us to be that third vase that stands tall, that's consistent, that's full, that's overflowing. And can I tell you that when you learn to live your life in that place of consistency, God will move in miraculous ways. We are believing for a miracle. We are standing firm, believing. Our church is believing for a miracle for our family. But if we're pouring out and we're not filling ourselves back up, how can God move? We're getting in the way of what he wants to do because we're pouring out too much and we're broken. And we're not coming in saying, God, do what you want to do. Move how you want to move. Because I'm ready to be poured out. I'm full. I filled myself up this week. I am full to the max. So whatever he wants to pour on me will flow out. That's what I want. That's what we want. And so I encourage you, we're going to do a new song this morning, and I encourage you, fill your tank to the max. Fill it up to the max. Not with oil, not with the worries of this week, not with your problems, not with your issues, not with your money trouble, not with your circumstances, none of it. Let it go. Fill it up with the water, the holy living water. My God is alive. My Jesus lives, and he wants to do something. I'm telling you, I came in here this morning. We practiced this morning. I could feel it. It was heavy. the presence of the Lord wants to do something in this place. And not just here, Pastor Paul, he wants to do something in your bed, in your room. He is going to move, and it is going to happen. He told me it wasn't finished. I stood behind him, behind that piano, and he said, I am not finished. I'm not finished. God wants to do something in you. He's not finished. Fill your tank. Fill it up so it can pour out. Let him use you. We're that pipe, church. We are that pipe, that vessel that he wants to flow through and use. But you gotta let him. You gotta let him flow. He's gonna do something. I know it. I believe it. And I can feel it.
Mountains are still being moved. Strongholds are still being loosed. God, we believe. Yes, we can see it. Wonders are still what you do. Bodies are still being raised. Giants are still being slain. God, we believe. Yes, we can see it. Wonders are still what you do. We are here. Still being raised. Giants are still being slain.
Christ alone. Come on, lift your hands and honor Him. Yeah, we need You to move, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We need a move.
Come on, move on somebody this morning, God. Hallelujah. Yeah, we need a move.
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 We need a
move in this place.
Come on, let it be your heart's prayer. Somebody
come
praise
Holy
Him.
Holy Spirit, we welcome You in. Burn like a fire, glow like the wind.
Let it glow.
Holy Spirit, we welcome You in. Burn like a fire, glow like the wind. Come, Holy Spirit, we welcome You in. Burn like a fire.
Come on, somebody give God praise.
Like
Hallelujah. How many need a move in your life? Supernaturally. I need the Spirit of God to move in you. Amen. I want you to do something with me this morning. Good morning, Pastor Paul. Miss Lisa. I want everybody in the room to do something for me. I want you to turn and face the back wall for me, if you would. I want you to extend a hand towards that back wall, because Pastor Paul and Miss Lisa are in the room this morning. We're just going to pray for Pastor Paul this morning. Amen. He can see us this morning on screen in his room. Father, You are still in the healing business. You are still on the throne, high and lifted up in Your train. Your glory fills the temple. Let there be a visitation in that room right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we said we've committed. Paul and Lisa, we're not walking this journey alone, but we've been walking with them. God, we know that You're always there. You said You've never left us, You'd never leave us, You'd never forsake us. So we know we're not alone. But God, here we are, the people of God. Come on, just begin to pray with me. God, we know You are still the healer. Regardless of what the doctors have said, regardless of what the diagnosis is, we know, God, that You are the great physician and the healer. And we ask You to raise up Pastor Paul in the name of Jesus. Raise him up. Raise him up. Raise him up. Raise him up in the name of Jesus. God, thank You because You hear us this morning. You said where any two or three agree in touching any one thing, and here we are. Lord, You said where any two or three agree in touching any one thing. God, here we are in a common place of agreement, asking You to encourage and lift up and strengthen and heal. God, we pray for Miss Lisa this morning. We ask you, Lord, to touch her and to strengthen her and minister to her. God, encourage and strengthen her in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just give you praise. We give you glory. Lord, bodies are still being healed. In the name of Jesus. God, we speak it done not by man's authority. We don't speak it done by man's ability, but we speak it done according to the word of God that declares, by your stripes, O Lord, we are healed. Lord, we have followed the principles of your word, not just with Pastor Paul, but with many, where you said, any among you sick, let them call for the elders of the church, anointing them with oil, praying the prayer of faith, and a prayer of faith that heal the sick. We're asking you, Lord, for the gift of healing, for the gift of faith to arise, the gift of healing to be manifested, to show itself right now in the name of Jesus, in Pastor Paul's body. Cancer, we curse you in the name of Jesus. Every cancer cell subject to the name of Jesus. Weakness, weakness of body, weakness of mind. We rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Strengthen my brother, oh God, in the mighty, mighty name of our Lord. Father, we just thank you and we praise you, Lord, not only for what you have done, but Lord, for what you are going to do. Not only for what has been accomplished, but Lord, what will be accomplished in full in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Father, touch and strengthen. Minister to every need. God, I lift up Mike to you today, right now. In the name of Jesus, I pray for my brother that you will touch him, strengthen him, minister to him. God, minister healing to his body, soul, and spirit, oh God. Every physical place in this body be made whole. Lord, the heavy weight and burden, God, that he carries with the struggles that have gone on over the last couple of years, we pray, God, that you will touch him and strengthen him. Lord, just like it was Job, I prophesy this morning over Mike. Lord, just as it was in Job, God, that which the enemy has stolen, God, you're going to return. Lord, it's going to be stronger than it ever was. Lord, we just speak it not only in a physical place, but financially in every way of his life. God, we just pray it. We speak it done according to your word. Encourage him and strengthen him in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God, we need a move. I said, we need a move. We need a move. We need a move. Come on, lift your hands. Come on, let's worship him. Come on, I know Pastor Paul and Miss Lisa are joining with us this morning. We need a move. We need a move, oh God. Move in this place, oh Lord. Such a good God.
Bodies are still being raised. Yes. Giants are still being slain. God, we believe. Yes, we can see it. Wonders are still.
Come on, sing that again.
Do.
Bodies are still being raised.
Bodies are still being raised.
All the giants in our life are being slain.
Giants are still being slain.
Hallelujah.
God, we believe. Yes, we can see it. Wonders are still what you do. Bodies are still being raised.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Giants are still being slain. God, we believe.
This morning I posted a scripture found in Hebrews. It says, for faith is the substance of things hoped for, It is the evidence of things not seen. And as we were singing this chorus, it says, bodies are still being raised. Giants are still being slayed. God, we believe. Everybody say yes.
Yes.
Come on, everybody say yes.
Yes.
Yes, we can see it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of not things not seen. Faith says, I believe it before I can see it. And when I see it, I can just honor, lifting up, magnifying. So even in the midst of not seeing, I got to be able to say, yes, God, I trust you. Come on, are you with me this morning? Even in the midst of that place where I can't see it with my carnal eye, I've got to see through the eye of the Spirit and say, yes, Lord, you're going to accomplish it. Come on, I believe it. I believe it. Receive ye that you believe in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
My promises are real and shall not be broken. My children, I say to you that there are those who stand at the starting gate, but they fail to press on, for they became distracted by the enemy who stands on the sidelines, causing them to doubt and fear. There are those of you who have begun the race, and as you have carried on, you stumble. You stumble and you fail, and you refuse to get up, for you have lost sight of the promise. But there are those among you who have started this race, and you have continued on, even though the enemy would bring blockage, even though the enemy would put a stumbling block before you, you have pressed on, you have overcome, because you have not lost sight of the promise. You have not lost sight of the goal. My children, I tell you, continue on. Be strong in the Lord, for I have given you the strength. I have given you the authority. I have given you the will to press on and to receive the promise that I have given unto you.
Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord praise right now. Come on. Come on, give the Lord praise. Don't lose sight. Don't lose hope. Come on, lift your hands with me all over the room. Hallelujah. God, thank you this morning for just allowing your gifts to be manifested in this, your house, through tongues and interpretation of tongues this morning. God, you are speaking to the saints of God. God, and in your gifts being manifested this morning, you are glorified and we are edified. We are built up. We are encouraged. I hope you got that word this morning. Don't lose sight. Don't lose sight of the promise. Don't lose sight. Keep your hope believing. Keep trusting. Keep standing. Keep honoring. Keep worshiping. Keep driving forward. Keep, come on, are you with me this morning? Yeah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Come on, just begin to thank Him and praise Him all over this room. We need a move. Give us a move, oh God. He said, I sing in my understanding and I sing in tongues. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I pray in my understanding and I pray in the spirit. Hallelujah. And when I pray in the spirit, I pray not from my own knowledge. I pray not from my own mind. I pray not from my own knowing. But I pray by the Spirit of the Lord, for He knows all things. Hallelujah. This is a move. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Let's worship Him. Come on, lift your hands and honor the King of Glory. Shoulder next to you. Maybe you want to take them by the hand. Father, we thank you. We ask you, Lord, to meet every need and to touch every place in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your healing touch and power. Thank you, Lord, because you're bigger than every situation. You're bigger than every circumstance. Lord, you're the great healer and the great physician. We pray for every single need represented in this body, some that are physical, some that are spiritual, some that are emotional, some that are financial. But God, we know that you are more than able to do exceedingly, abundantly, all that we ask or think. So, Lord, we come asking in faith, believing and receiving. Lord, we come asking in faith, believing and receiving in the name of Jesus. Lord, we don't let go of the promise. We're going to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, the completer of who we are. Lord, you're our source of healing. You're our source of strength. Lord, we just keep our eyes fixed on you this morning. Regardless of all that's going on around us or in us or among us, we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. We ask you, Lord, to lead us and guide us. Direct us in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Turn to the person right there close to you and just tell them, say, it's going to be all right. Tell them, say, you're going to make it. Come on, say that like you mean it. Tell somebody, just you might want to even just point at them and say, you're going to make it. Come on, just look at the person right there and say, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. You are the head and not the tail. Tell the person next to you, say, you're going to make it. Amen. You may be seated this morning. How many know we need a move? Amen. How many know we need a move? We need a move of God. We oftentimes pray when we're praying for a move or we're praying for revival, whatever the case may be. We pray, God, move in the body. What we need to do is say, God, move in me. Yes. Amen. Amen. We sang that a few moments ago. We need a move. And I don't know, all of a sudden I just said, I need a move. God, move in me. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you're glad to be here, say amen. Amen. If you love the devil and hate, I mean, if you love the Lord and hate the devil, say amen. Amen. I'm just checking to see if you was paying attention, and you were. I got to keep you awake every now and then. Amen. If you love the Lord, say amen. Amen. If you hate the devil, say amen. Amen. Let me know you're victorious. Yes. Amen. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, who gives us strength because he loves us. Amen. Because he loves us. I said, because he loves us. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, who gives us strength because he loves us. Why does he give you the strength to overcome? Why does he give you the strength to be a conqueror? Because he loves you. Amen. Because he loves me. He helps me to overcome the difficult places of life. Not just because I'm an overcomer. He gives me that strength because he loves me. And I got to tell you something this morning. He loves you. Come on, are you with me this morning? He loves you. In fact, he loved you so much that he made a trek all the way up by the way of the whipping post, all the way up Golgotha's hill to a place called Calvary. They didn't take his life. He laid his life down there for you. I said, he laid it down. I oftentimes think about that place where it talks about the soldier who, this desperate attempt to take the life. In this desperate attempt to take the life of our Savior, he thrust that spear into his side. I don't know if you've ever read that carefully, but at the moment he thrust that spear into his side, the scripture says, out of him flowed blood and water. Ooh. Out of him flowed blood and water. Water denotes the blessings of the Lord. Blood brings healing to the spirit, brings salvation. So we are not only saved, but we are blessed and healed. Come on, if you're blessed, say amen. If you're saved and you know it, say amen. Gave his life for you. He laid his life down for you. And all he wants from you, and all he wants from me, is a place of commitment that will say, yes, Lord, I will follow you. I will serve you. I will honor you. Sin is not something that is forgiven instantaneously, automatically. Sin is forgiven when we confess it. I said, sin is forgiven when we confess it. And I'm not talking about confessing your faults one to another. I'm talking about asking Jesus to forgive you of the sin of your life. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but while we were yet sinners, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And at the moment you invite Jesus to come into your heart and your life, you are instantaneously changed. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Cleansed by His blood. Forgiven of your sin. But it's an unfortunate culture we live in today that we think grace has become our sin credit card. And that we can invite Jesus to come into our heart and come into our life and then just live any old lifestyle we want to live. And still experience the presence and the power of an omniscient, all-knowing, all-powerful God. It's kind of like that place that Heidi was talking about this morning as she was sharing a vision and prayer, that we tend to want to be that second vase oftentimes, that mixing the world and the spirit and thinking that'll all work out okay. And I got news for you, that never works out well. I don't know about you, but my flesh and my spirit in a place of conflict all the time. I said my flesh and my spirit are in a place of conflict constantly. And so there's no place in my life where I can mix the two and say, hey, it's going to be all right here to just have a little bit of, I can just have a little flesh. Because the moment or the place I get into in that place of my life, all of a sudden there's greater conflict spiritually. So I must come to the place where it's either all God, it's either all Him, or nothing. We need to stop playing church. Start being the people of God that He's called us to be and desires for us to be. Come on. Say, Pastor, how do you get to that place? I just struggle so. My flesh and my spirit are in such constant conflict. How do you get to that place? There's only one way I know of, and that is you have to just totally fall in love with Jesus. And when you totally fall, when you are totally consumed, when you totally fall in love with Jesus, there'll be one thing you want. You'll have one desire. That is to please Him. That is to honor Him. That is to love Him. When you completely fall in love with Jesus, you can't help but be in love with His Word. Because the Scripture says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word what? Jesus. So if I can't help but, when I fall in love with Jesus, I can't help but fall in love with this Word. Said, Pastor, why do you treasure the Word so? Well, because I'm in love with Jesus. Well, Pastor, why do you treasure the Word so? Because I'm in love with Jesus. Pastor, why do you love the Word so? Because I treasure Jesus. I treasure that relationship. So more than anything in my life, I want to cultivate that. I want that place in my life to grow. Amen? I want that place in my life to develop. I want that place in my life, relationship with Him, to grow in the Lord. Amen. How many know we serve a good God? I said, how many know we serve a good God? I know I don't have a lot of voice this morning, but I can still go. So I said, how many know God is good this morning? You might as well get with me. Mom will preach whether you get with me or not. How many know God's a good God this morning? How many love Him? Say amen. Somebody heard my voice this morning and said, boy, we ought to be out of here by 11:30. Then they said, no, they'll just bring Nancy up and she'll just sign it. Amen. God's good. Amen. God's good. We serve a wonderful, wonderful Lord. Please forgive my raspy voice this morning. You'll just have to put up with it today. It's probably not going to get any better. Not today, anyway. Amen. At least I don't sound like I'm doing the bass line now. I don't think. Maybe I still sound that way. I don't know. God's good. Amen. If you're a guest with us today, welcome to Bethel Assembly of God. We're so glad that you're here. And for those who are watching us live stream this morning, especially Pastor Paul and Miss Lisa. Hello, Pastor Paul. I love you, buddy. We miss you being here. And to just believe in the Lord to raise you up. Amen. Hallelujah. God's good. Continue to pray for Pastor Paul, Miss Lisa. Continue to pray for Mike and Michelle. Michelle, I told Michelle this week when I saw her, I said, wow, your hair is looking beautiful. Amen. Come on, just. I said, could I have some of that? But thank God for what He's doing. Amen. Man, I saw somebody I hadn't seen in a while this morning. Man, there's the doorkeeper right back there in the back. Brother Smitty, good to see you, my friend. Hallelujah. God's good. Good to see you, Brother Smitty. Love you, buddy. Let me know God's a good God. Amen. He is such a wonderful, wonderful Lord. And it's been, listen, if we didn't have anything else, I'd already feel like I've been to church. Amen. It's been good already. But it's just getting started. Amen. Just getting started. Thank you for worshiping Him today. Thank you for honoring the Lord today in worship. We worship Him in song. We worship Him with our hands lifted. We worship Him through our giving. Everything we do is an act of worship. Worship is not something we do on Sunday morning. Worship is not something we do on Wednesday night. Worship has to become a lifestyle. Amen. Scripture said, let everything that have breath do what? Praise the Lord. How many are expecting to have breath in the morning? So what are you going to do? Every morning when you wake up, say, I've got breath. I've got reason to praise the Lord. Some of us, we get so consumed with our issues of the day that we forget to give Him praise. Amen. You got to let praise become your song. I said it a few weeks ago. Your praise has to get louder than your complaint. Your praise has got, it needs to get louder than your concern. Amen. God's good. Well, we want you to honor the Lord today through your giving and worship Him today with your giving. Brother Bentley, if you'll come, Brother Bentley's going to come and share. Might need to spray this mic with some Lysol. Aren't you thankful that the Holy Ghost will cleanse that real quick?
Praise God. That's some wonderful worship this morning. I didn't intend on speaking about it, but Pastor asked me to say something about the conference that I attended last weekend. I attended because I need to move. And so we had some wonderful teaching, some wonderful worship, but also went because I knew Brother Paul needs to move. And I stood in prayer for him, and so they prayed for me in behalf of him. And so I carried back what they gave me to give to him. And so we're believing that he's going to have a mighty move of God and he's going to get healed. So in preparation for the offering, I have some scriptures to read. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 15 says, "Remember, the man who plants only a few seeds will not have much grain together. The man who plants many seeds will have much grain together. Each man should give as he has decided in his heart. He should not give wishing he should keep it, or he should not give if he feels he has to give. God loves a man who gives because he wants to give. God can give you all you need. He will give you more than enough. You will have everything you need for yourselves, and you will have enough left over to give when there is need." The Holy Writings in Psalm 112:9 says, "He has given much to the poor. His right standing with God lasts forever. It is God who gives seed to the man to plant. He also gives the bread to eat. Then we know he will give you more seed to plant and make it grow so you will have more than enough to give away. God will give you enough so you can always give to others. Then many will give thanks to God for sending gifts through us. This gift you give not only helps Christians who are in need, but also helps them give thanks to God. You are proving by this act of love what you are. They will give thanks to God for your gift to them and to others. This proves you obey the good news of Christ. They will pray for you with great love because God has given you his loving favor. Thank God for his great gift." We are to be generous with God, generous to each other, and generous to those still trapped in the world. Jesus says in Luke 6:27 through 38, "I say to you who hear me, love those who work against you. Do good to those who hate you. Respect and give thanks for those who try to bring bad to you. Pray for those who make it very hard for you. Whosoever hits you on the one side of the face, turn so he can hit you on the other side also. Whoever takes your coat, give him your shirt also. Give to any person who asks you for something. If a person takes something from you, do not ask for it back. Do for other people what you would like them to have. Do for other people what you would like to have them do for you. If you love those who love you, what pay can you expect from that? Sinners also love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what pay can you expect from that? Sinners also do good for those who do good to them. If you let people use your things and expect to get something back, what pay can you expect from that? Even sinners let sinners use things and they expect to get something back. But love those who hate you. Do good to them. Let them use your things and do not expect something back. Your reward will be much. You will be the children of the Most High. He is kind to those who are not thankful and to those who are full of sin. You must have loving kindness as your Father has loving kindness. Do not say what is wrong in another person's lives. Then other people will not say what is wrong with your life. Do not say someone is guilty. Then other people will say you are guilty. Forgive other people, and other people will forgive you. Give and it will be given to you. You will have more than enough. It can be pushed down, shaken together, and it will still run over as it is given to you. The way you give to others is the way you will receive in return. The verses in Luke are difficult to apply. It takes faith to give without an expectation to return. That kind of giving runs contrary to the world and to the wisdom of the world. But giving to get is manipulation. And manipulation is our attempt to get our wants and needs outside of God's will and out of his provision. In these scriptures, our instructions are simple: to be generous with everyone, and God will take care of us in return. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, give us the faith we need to receive your word and the faith we need to apply your words to our lives. Help us to be generous, joyful givers as an expression of our love and our gratitude to you for your goodness to us. Help us to be generous with each other and to our unsaved neighbors to reclaim them for your kingdom. Help us to be good stewards of your love and generosity by sharing your goodness with them. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray, amen. Please get the offering. Bless the offering. Heavenly Father, as we receive today's offering, we ask that you bless and multiply this offering and bless your givers. We are believing you for heaven opened, earth invaded, storehouses unlocked, and miracles created. Dreams and visions, angelic visitations, declarations, impartations, and divine manifestations. Anointings, giftings and calls, positions and promotions, provisions and resources. Go to the nations, souls and more souls, from every generation, saved and set free. Carry kingdom revelation. Thank you, Father, that as we join our value system to yours, you will shower favor, blessings, and increase upon us so we can have more than enough to co-labor with heaven and see Jesus get his full reward. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty and victorious name we pray. Amen.
Contain.
Father, let praise,
praise
not just be,
my
not just be on our lips, but let it be our song. Let praise not be something we do. Let praise be who we are. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll open our ears to hear and our hearts to receive the word of the Lord today. Speak to us, and then work through us. Lord, speak to us, and then work through us. In the mighty, marvelous, glorious name of our Lord. And everybody in the room said, come on, one time, put your hands together and let's give God praise one more time. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Hallelujah. How many know God is a good God? Randy, I'm going to see if I can use this one. My voice may not hold up for that. We'll see. God is good. Can you say amen? I want to get back to our teaching that we've been walking through over the last several months. In fact, when I look back, started in January, we started teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gifts. We've certainly moved and done some different preaching and teaching along the way. But I believe that God's church, within God's church, and how many know this is not the church? How many know this is the church? Come on, look at your neighbor and just tell them, say, you're the church. You are the church. Amen. Sometimes we get that confused. Sometimes our tendency is to think that the church is the building we go to. The Bible says that the body is what? The temple of the Holy Spirit. This is the church. Amen. And so everywhere we go, the church goes with us because we are the church. And how many believe that God desires that his gifts be in operation within the church? Amen. As we've been teaching all the gifts of the Spirit, we oftentimes have discovered, I hope that you've discovered, that the gifts are not just for inside the wall. And the further we get into teaching on the gifts and discovering the gifts in our life, what we will realize is that God intends for the gifts to be in the church, but to flow out of the church. And when I mean in the church, I don't mean in the building. I mean in us. Come on, can you say amen? And so if we are the church and God intends for his gifts to flow out of the church, then we just have to be that piece of pipe that he can utilize. We've dealt with the gifts, and I've categorized the 9 gifts of the Spirit we've been teaching on anyway in regards to 3 categories of gifts. There are those gifts that say something, those gifts that do something, and those gifts that reveal something. The 3 gifts that say something are gifts of utterance. This morning in our service, actually, all 3 of those gifts this morning were manifested in our service this morning. All 3 gifts of utterance were manifested. Prophetic word, tongues, and interpretation. All 3 of the utterances were, of those gifts that are gifts of utterance, were manifested in this room today. There were prophetic words given. There was a message in tongues and a message interpreted in tongues. I'm not going to teach on all that because I've spent a lot of time teaching on all those dynamics. But I've also discovered that when you begin to teach on the gifts and press in and discover those, you more readily see those gifts in operation. Let's also remember that oftentimes, particularly in the gifts of utterance, we'll typically see those gifts more operation inside the wall than outside the wall. Amen? So gifts of utterances you will see more frequently manifested in a corporate body of worship than you might see outside the wall. The reason being for that is the fact that we know this, that those who do not walk, or those who walk according to the flesh, cannot comprehend the things of the Spirit. That's what the Word says. So if you go outside the wall and you walk up to somebody and you just begin to prophesy, or you begin to speak in tongues and then interpret, and they're in flesh, they're not going to get it. So So God is not typically going to use, how many know that God does not waste time? I said God does not waste time. So God is not going to use his gifts, wasting time using his gifts for a lack of understanding. And so that's the reason oftentimes we see that. We know also this, that when the gifts are manifested, he is glorified. When the gifts are manifested, he is glorified. Nothing about the gifts that were manifested in this room, in this sanctuary today, glorified man. And when the gifts are manifested in the corporate body, we ought to give God praise for it. Can you say amen? He is exalted. In other words, he's lifted up. We praise him for it. But while he's being praised, we're being edified. What I mean by being edified, I mean we're built up. I don't know about you this morning, but as the gifts were flowing in this room today, I was encouraged. I was built up. I said I was built up. It was interesting. And I don't know about you, but you know, when you begin to flow in the Spirit, you know when things are about ready to happen. This morning, I knew there was fixing to be a message in tongues. In fact, I was fixing to deliver a message in tongues if it didn't come forth. A message in tongue was delivered, and I knew, now, because of the flowing of the Spirit, I also knew Dr. Bartlett was going to give that interpretation. Come on, are you with me? But he was glorified. He was lifted up, but we were edified. So be it tongues of utterance or gifts of utterance or any other gift, let's understand that dynamic that he is to be glorified in all of it. But when he is glorified, we are built up. And when the gifts are in operation, the body of Christ ought to be edified. We ought to be built up. Come on, can you say amen? So let's think about that in regards to us being the piece of pipe to be used of God. If we want him to be glorified and the body be edified, then we don't need to do anything silly. Did you get that? The boys and girls didn't have kids' church today, so I had to use the word silly. So if the body's going to be, right, if he's going to be glorified, the body be edified, we don't need to be silly. We don't need to, listen, you don't have to manipulate the gifts. You don't have to force the gifts. You don't have to prod the gifts. Come on, church. All you have to do is be a vulnerable piece of pipe. All we have to be is vulnerable to the Spirit, open to the Spirit, so that the gifts might flow through us. That's it. That's all it takes. And if we do that in our lives, God will use us. How many want to be used of God? Say amen. Amen. If you want to be used in the gifts, say amen. Amen. Say, Pastor, I think I want to be used, but I've never heard any teaching on the gifts, so I'm a little nervous. It's all right. You don't have to have full understanding to be used of the gifts. Hello? You don't have to have full understanding. You just have to be a piece of pipe. You just have to be at that place where you want the gifts to flow through you. Amen? And so there are gifts that say something, gifts that do something, gifts that reveal something. Prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, or tongues, and interpretation of tongues are those gifts of utterance. Then there are the gifts that do something. I call them gifts that do something, gifts of power, gifts of faith, the working of miracles, gifts of healing. We started teaching and talking about gifts of faith last week. Take your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 12. Some of you are wondering if I know what time it is, and I do. Some of you are wondering if I care. And verse number 4 says, for there are diversity of gifts. What does it mean? What's diversity? There are different gifts. There are different gifts. There are diversity of gifts, but what is it? It's the same Spirit. So all the gifts, whether it be gifts of utterance, gifts that do something, or gifts that reveal something, they're all of the same Spirit. So the Spirit that is driving the gifts is all the same. Did you get that? The Spirit that is driving the gifts, they are all the same. You can't have a different spirit driving a different gift. If you do, we are in trouble. So the Spirit of God is that which drives the gifts to flow. Can you say amen? So there's those gifts that say something, gifts that do something, gifts that reveal something. There are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. Verse 6, there are a diversity of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. You know, there's only one purpose for the gifts to be manifested. There's only one reason for the gifts to be manifested, and that is that His purposes would be fulfilled. Let me say that again. There's only one reason for the gifts to be manifested, and that is that His purpose would be fulfilled. There's not any other reason for the gifts to be manifested. Now, I know sometimes we think, boy, we need the gift of faith, or we need the gift of healing, or we need the gift of miracles, whatever it may be. We see those dynamics, say, we need those. There's only one reason that they need to be manifested, and that is that He to fulfill His purpose. And by the way, I know sometimes we look at situations and say, well, I need a healing. That's my need. But if I want His purpose to be fulfilled, God, do what you need to do. Come on. And so in that place, I look at those situations and say, God, I want the gifts to be manifested in my life. I want to be the piece of pipe, but I want the purpose to be that you would be glorified. And that your purpose would be fulfilled in it. Let me say it again, something I said a few moments ago, and that is God does not waste time. God is not in the business of wasting time. And so when the gifts are manifested, He has a distinctive purpose. This morning we had a message that was given in tongues, an interpretation that was given, and God had a distinctive purpose behind that. And He didn't waste any time getting it done. God does not need nearly as long as I do to fulfill His purpose. Sometimes we look at those situations and say, well, if God is so distinct and God is very pinpointed and God doesn't waste time, why does it take you preachers so long to say stuff? I'll tell you why, because we're not omniscient. I said, we are not omniscient. And so sometimes we have to chase a few rabbits to find the purpose of God. You can laugh at that. That's all right. So we want the gifts of the Spirit to be manifested in our lives so they can be manifested to those who are needing to see the purpose of God fulfilled in their lives. Did you hear me? We want the gifts of the Spirit to be manifested through us. We want to be the piece of pipe that the gifts are flowing through so that His purpose can be fulfilled in someone else. I'm going to say that again because you need to get that part. If you don't get that part, you've lost the whole purpose and principle of the gifts of the Spirit. God wants to fulfill, right? He wants you to be the piece of pipe that His gifts are flowing through so that someone else can be blessed by His purpose. I've said it time and again, and I just drive this point home because I'm just kind of that away. You do not possess the gifts. They are not your gifts to possess. You don't impart the gifts. That comes from the Holy Spirit. They're His gifts and His impartation. He gives gifts to whomever, what the Scripture says, He wills. Amen? And so when He wills, and He's an omniscient God, right? And the Spirit is a third part of the Trinity, correct? And so the Spirit of God is all-knowing. And so when He knows a purpose needs to be fulfilled, then He can will that gift to flow through whatever piece of pipe is available. I'll say this again, too. Do not validate someone's spirituality or even their relationship with the Lord by their ability to use gifts. Because if you'll recall, God also used a donkey. Just a thought. to be his piece of pipe when there wasn't another vessel available. I didn't say accessible, I said available. Because there's a difference in being accessible and being available. So God, I know this is going to just shock you, but God does not necessarily need you. But he does want you to be the piece of pipe he can use. Come on, can you say amen? So there are diversity of gifts, but it's the same Spirit who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. No matter when or where the gifts are used, we all benefit. We're encouraged. Whatever the gifts are, whenever they're utilized, the body of Christ is to benefit with all. Even if that, particularly, let's use the purpose of the gift of healing. So the gift of healing, let me back up. So you're the piece of pipe that God is going to use to pray over someone, to speak into someone's life, so the gift of healing can be manifested. So in that process, that person who is healed is receiving the gift that was manifested. Right? So they were the recipient of the gift. You were just a piece of pipe. And I know you say, Pastor, you have said that over and over again, because I think there's been some really wrong teaching about that. Or maybe it's just some misunderstanding about that. Because I oftentimes hear people say, well, I've got the gift of faith, and I've got the gift of this. And really all they have is a gift of gab. And what I mean by that, there's not an ounce of benefit to you bragging about what gift you have or what gifts God is using you in. Because I don't find any place in Scripture that God laid out or allowed his gifts to flow so that we could pat ourselves on the back. Only thing I find in Scripture is that when the gifts were manifested, God was glorified. God was seen. And God was experienced. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the same Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another the gift of faith, or another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing, healings by the same faith. I always like that when I read that healings is plural. Hallelujah. By the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles. Notice that one's plural too. To another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. And so, but verse 11 says, but one and the same Spirit works all these, distributing each one individually as who wills? The Spirit wills. So it's not your job to decide who, when, and where. That is the responsibility, and it is at the charge of the Spirit of God. I said, that's not your responsibility. It's not my responsibility. You even made, like this morning, I made a statement. I felt like Dr. Bartley was getting ready to give an interpretation. I just sensed that in my spirit. But it would not be in my responsibility to walk over to Dr. Bartley and say, hey, you got the message in tongues. Go ahead and give it. Because it is not at my will. And by the way, let me also say this in regards to tongues, interpretation, tongues, or any other gift for that matter, when we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit. So a message was given in tongues. The Scripture said if you're going to give a message in tongues, you need to pray that you might interpret. So if a message is given in tongues, by the way, if you're going to give a message in tongues, then you better pray that you can interpret it. Or have the wherewithal to let the Spirit of God use you as a piece of pipe to interpret it. Because without interpretation, there's confusion. And I'm a pastor that will not bail you out. Now, if I have the interpretation, I'll certainly give it. And sometimes we have to wait. Sometimes we wait a while. Why is that? There's been times, I'll tell you this, there's been times that a message is given in tongues and I had the interpretation and was ready to give the interpretation in tongues and the Lord said, no, stop. Why is that? Because God's wanting someone to step out. I don't know if you've ever been in that place, particularly where tongues and interpretation are concerned, but a message is given in tongues, and when the interpretation comes, you went, that is it. I had that word, right? Why didn't you give it if you had it? So 10 people in the room had the word. Why was it one person gave the word? Because God is a God who does everything decently in order. Amen? And so we see the gifts, and we ought to see the gifts flowing. And so last week, we kind of dove into that place talking about the gift of faith. And I kind of categorized those things and got in trouble a little bit. Because if you're not here on Wednesday night, or you're teaching in an area on Wednesday night, you don't get all this. And we've been teaching on the fruit of faithfulness. And so there's a lot of things that I've talked about, the gifts. And in there, I did a lot of explaining on Wednesday night. And so I had some folks who teach on Wednesday night said, Pastor, I was kind of lost. You kind of lost me there all of a sudden. I'm not going to touch much on that because we dealt with all that on Wednesday night. And I'm going, I didn't hear that. So saving faith, we talked about this last week. Saving faith, we find in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, for by grace you have been saved, what? You're not saved by faith, you're saved by what? Right? But you have to have faith to be saved. Right? But your faith is not in the preacher. Your faith is not in the system. It's not in the church. Your faith is in what? Jesus Christ, God's grace. Your faith is in His ability through His word that you might be saved. Romans chapter 10 and 17. So then what? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's the reason oftentimes we hear preaching or teaching or ministry and the word is delivered. We give an altar call and people get saved. Because when the word goes forth, it lets faith arise. Amen? It lets faith arise in people and people are more receptive. Or at that place to receive. Then there's what I call the second place, and that's general faith. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. For I say that through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought to think. Isn't it interesting when we're talking about the gifts or we're talking about faith and all those things that it says you need to be humble? Now that's a little rayology, but you just need to be able to handle that. Is come to the place realizing that whatever you are doing in God and for God, you need to be humble about it. I'm so excited. I've just been really excited about what I'm seeing God do in Bentley. And he's so humble about it. He's so humble about it. A few weeks ago, he said, Pastor, I just wish I didn't get so choked up when I... Listen, let me tell you, that just tells me the humility, the humbleness in his spirit. Amen? Don't think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Remember what I talked about last week? When you start bragging on yourself, you're just talking like concerning the things of God. You start bragging about what you've been doing for God, and you're talking like a drunkard who's just babbling. Anybody ever been around a drunk? I mean someone who is just sloppy drunk? I have. I mean... their conversation is ridiculous. Thank you for using a better word than I was about to use. But to think soberly, of sound mind. For as God has dealt to each one what? A measure of faith. If you are saved today, you've been saved by grace through faith. Come on, are you with me? So you have been saved by grace through faith, and through that place of relationship, you have a measure of faith. Every one of you has a measure of faith. I said, every person in this room has a measure of faith. Somebody said, well, my faith's bigger than your faith. Listen, you don't need big faith. You just need to make sure your faith is directed in the right place. So when it comes to those things, we understand that we just need to make sure that we get, Paul said, I must decrease that he might increase. How many believe that's faith? It's saying I need less of me and more him. And so in that place here, we're finding this place of understanding general faith that says every one of us has a measure of faith. Somebody said, well, I want my faith to increase. Well, I can tell you exactly how to get that done. If you want your general faith, you want to grow in the general place of faith of your life, I can tell you real easy how to accomplish that. Get in the Word of God. Because the Scripture says what? Faith comes by what? And hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you want your faith to increase, then you've got to get in the Word of God. Read the Word. It says faith cometh by what? Read the Word out loud. Now, I told you before, I'm not one of those guys who listen to the audible things, but if I take this scripture literally, there would be some benefit to listening to scripture on faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So I hear it, I receive it, I digest it, gets into my spirit, and I begin to grow. The measure of faith begins to grow in me. Come on, can you say amen? So there's saving faith, there's that general faith. I talked about that last week in regards to that general faith is a place that typically we what? Our prayers are answered. The answer came because why? We believe God by faith. First Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 8, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the Spirit, another the faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of... So we go through all of those dynamics. But there's a distinction here, and let's just understand when we're talking about the gift of faith, because somebody said, well, I've got the fruit of faith, I've got the general faith, I've got saving faith. What's the difference? Well, on Wednesday night, we're talking about fruit of faith. Everybody say faithfulness. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, this is the way I teach on the fruit. The Spirit, the fruit, when we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, they're not separate. They are singular as one. It is one piece of fruit. It is not segmented. It's not an orange, an apple, and right? It is one piece of fruit. It's like an orange that is sectioned, but you can separate it out for the sake of reviewing and looking at it. But if you look at it, it's got to be a whole. So Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's the fruit of the Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is love. The byproducts of the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, is joy. And peace, long-suffering, and kindness, goodness. Everybody say faithfulness. Gentleness, self-control, against such there is no law. So the fruit of the Spirit are for the development of Christian character. Let me say it again. The fruit of the Spirit is about developing Christian character. The gift of faith is not about developing your character. It is about fulfilling the purpose of God. The gift of faithfulness, or the fruit of faithfulness, is about character being developed in your life. When God uses you in the gift of faith, he's not necessarily using it for the purpose of developing something in you. The gift of faith is used for the purpose of touching someone else's life in some other place. But the fruit of faithfulness is a place in your life to develop Christian character. Learn to be faithful in the Word. Learn to be faithful in church. Learn to be faithful in tithe. Learn to be faithful in commitment. Learn to be faithful in teaching. Learn to be faithful in encouragement. Learn to be faithful in witness. Come on, all of those things. That's developing Christian character. Learn to, right? Bentley shared with us this morning about forgiving one another. I said ouch about three times while Brother Bentley was sharing this morning. Right? Do you know, anybody ever have any hard time forgiving people? Don't raise your hand. Don't. You know what the scripture says about that? Scripture says if you can't forgive, you can't be forgiven. Whoa. If you can't forgive, you can't be forgiven. That's the reason we need to develop Christian character in our life. Because we need to be able to forgive. By the way, let me say this. I said this to someone not too long ago. Is understand this, because we really struggle with this, and I know this is a little bit off of the teaching this morning, but we really struggle with this oftentimes. Just because we forgive someone does not mean that we are validating their actions. Did you hear me this morning? Just because we forgive does not mean that we are validating someone else's wrong actions. Someone treated us wrong, someone did wrong, they acted wrong, they responded wrong. You can forgive them, and forgiving them does not mean that you validate what they did. And that's a hard place to live sometimes. But I can forgive someone and not validate their wrong actions. If I don't forgive them, then their wrong actions control me. That's another teaching altogether. Some say, now I'm really confused. I thought you were teaching the gift of faith. You haven't even gotten there yet. And I know it's 12 o'clock. So we need faithfulness in our life. I'll also say this, because this is really important. And I know I repeat a lot week after week, but I try to keep some continuity flowing. If we don't, what happens is, how many were not here last week? Let me see your hand. Well, see, that's what happens. So here's this process that I'm growing. If I am moving in the gifts, but there's no character in my life, I become what? A sounding and a clanging cymbal. So if the gifts are moving in my life, but there's no character of fruit in my life spiritually. So it's not an either or. I have to be willing to have the fruit develop and be used in the gifts. Can you say amen? If you desire to be used in the gifts, any gift, then you had better demonstrate the fruit. If you desire to be used in any gifts, then we ought to let the fruit, we need the fruit to be evident in our life. Amen? I've said it before, and I'll say it again. It's a shame that we can come into church and want God to use us and see the gifts flowing in our life and go to the restaurant and treat the waitress like dirt. Or sometimes we don't even get to the restaurant. We get to the first red light. Or sometimes before we can even get out of the parking lot. So we need to let the fruit develop in our life. And fruit is something, listen, fruit is something that grows in the life of a Christian to establish him and her in spiritual character. It grows. If you're not here on a Wednesday night teachings, then understand that fruit grows. It becomes to a place of maturity. And we have to be careful about that, because we need to leave that fruit on the limb long enough to let it mature. Let it grow and develop into what it needs to develop. Next week, we're going to be ready. And we're going to digest these three gifts that do something. And I'm going to take them as a whole for one purpose. I'll break them down for the distinctive of the particular of each one. But I want to take them as a whole for a couple of reasons. One is, in the gifts that do something, we see them cohesively moving together almost all the time. If the gift of miracles is manifested, the gift of faith is in action. If the gift of healings is manifested, then the gift of faith is in manifested. I'm also going to teach next week a little bit about helping us understand the difference between gift of miracles and gifts of healing. Gifts of miracles. So sometimes, and again, I think it's oftentimes we just, how many believe if God heals somebody, it's a miracle? But just to give you something to chew on for the week, when we're talking about the gift of miracles, we're talking about breaking the course of nature, of a natural process. When we're talking about gifts of healings, we're typically talking about gifts of healing in the body or a physical manifestation of that. All right. I always say when I ride the bicycle, so that you want to ride more next time. So I'm going to stop right there because I want you to come back next week and want some more teaching. Amen? You're going, Pastor, you're not going to explain that at all? No. Bow your heads with me if you would, please. Thank you, Lord. You're truly a good, good God, and we love you. Lord, we want the gifts of the Spirit to be manifested in our lives. We want you, God, to move in us and through us. We want to be vessels, pieces of pipe that the Spirit of God can flow through, that you might be glorified and the body would be edified. Lord, use people in this body. Use the body of Christ. Let us be the piece of pipe that the gifts are flowing through daily. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm gonna say two things. And I say this weekly. But the greatest gift Jesus ever gave to mankind was a gift of salvation. The greatest gift that was ever given to mankind was salvation. Because without salvation, there's not anything else that's going to change our lives. So if you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to take the opportunity to just invite you to invite Jesus Christ to come into your heart and life. If you're here today and you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or perhaps you're in this room and you've walked with Him in days past, but you know today your life is not where it needs to be. You're away from God. You're not living in the place you ought to be living for Him. And you say, Pastor, I need to get my life back right with God today. You've never invited Him into your life, or maybe you need to come back into the body of Christ again today and let Jesus change your life. If that's you today, would you just lift up your hand right where you're at? I want to pray with you. If you would give me that honor and privilege, I would be so blessed. Anyone across the room, Pastor, I need to invite Jesus to come into my heart, into my life. I need to allow Jesus to do some things in me and through me. Come on, anybody? Yes, anybody else? Lord, there's some places I need to reconcile in my own spirit. I need to get some things right. Anybody else this morning as we get ready to pray? Father in heaven, you lifted your hand this morning. I want to just ask Jesus to forgive you. And maybe it's at a place where you need to let forgiveness begin to flow not only in you, but flow through you. Father, we ask you right now. 1 John 1:9 says, if I confess my sin, then He's faithful and just to forgive me my sin and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And so, Lord, I just confess my sin to you. I ask you to forgive me. Come on, all you have to do is ask him to forgive you. I ask him to forgive me and wash me and cleanse me and make me whole today. Father, we love you and we thank you and we praise you. Lord, I pray that you will just strengthen and touch and minister to those who prayed that prayer this morning and have asked you to come into their heart and their life to forgive them of their sins, to wash them, cleanse them by your precious blood. Father, we thank you and we praise you for all that you're doing and all that you're going to do. Lord, we also ask you to use us to allow the gifts of the Spirit to flow in us and through us. Lord, we trust you to do that as we just want to be vessels, pieces of pipe. The Spirit of the Lord is flowing through to touch others around us. In Jesus' name. And everybody in the room said, stand with me one more time if you would. Listen, if you have a special prayer need in your life, you need special prayer in any place in your life, physically, spiritually. You just need someone to stand in agreement with you. There'll be some folks right here at the altar that'll pray with you today. Just standing in agreement with you today. So if you need prayer, feel like you can come at any point in time. Otherwise, God bless you. I love you. I appreciate you for all that you do. Go tell someone about Jesus. Go be a piece of pipe. Let the character, the fruit, love shine in you and through you. God bless you. Be encouraged. Walk in the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just come right now and someone will pray with you. Amen.